Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful to be with you on this 26th day of January 2019. And we're going to look at, is there more? Everybody wants more. We'll talk about more here in a minute. I want to remind you that these radio programs are created and made just for you and are supported by you, the listening audience. It is only through your tax-deductible gift that we are able to offer to you these radio programs, and we're hoping that you will be interested enough to become a sponsor and help us pay for airtime and all the other things that Aspire does to be of service to humankind. Our work at hospice and all of the things I do, there are so many. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you will see a couple of new things going on. One of them is we've streamlined our website. And for those of you who are sponsors, you have a special kind of sponsors access or sponsors corner there, both on the mobile version and on the desktop version. And you can go and click on that, and it will take you instantly to the beautiful things that we have to offer, the commentaries, podcasts, video casts, all the discourses for the TV programs, as well as the journal that I do each and every month, your message of the month. For those of you who get the discourses, they're there also. Everything is in one neat little package, and you can just click on Sponsors Access, and you are home free. You get to do everything you want. Also, for people who are subscribed to the commentary, it's all there for you as well, monthly. These people can monthly subscribe, anybody can, to the commentaries, podcasts, and videocasts if you like. So it's all there. This is kind of something we're doing to streamline. We did a little survey, and we're learning more and more about how to serve you better. Also, when you're there at the website, you will see a button down at the bottom, Why Support Aspire, and it will tell you exactly where your donations go and why they're so important and who they affect. And they do affect hundreds of people, not only in your community and mine, but all over the world, who subscribe to Aspire, who watch the TV programs, which we are now airing, What Is the Point of It All? And these were filmed in my home. I hope that you enjoy them and find them of great value, because they were made really from the heart. I think you'll find them very interesting. I really do. Go to the website at aspire.org, aspire.org. I get questions from time to time, and it is wonderful to get these questions. They're unique. They show curiosity, sometimes intelligence even, and that always surprises me. The American public, I don't feel, is always the brightest tool in the shed. So when you find people who are demonstrating insight and conscientious thinking, it always moves me very deeply and interests me. So I've entitled this program, Is There More? So let's take a look. The first question comes from Janice. She does not tell me where she lives. Is there more that you are not telling us about God, like what God is, etc., etc.? Janice, you know, I'm pausing and kind of hesitating here because I don't talk too much about God. I feel that too much has been said anyway. More has been said than has been lived. I think that what Jesus said sums it all up and is about the best way to look at it, at least from my point of view, and that is God is love. And I look into the whole situation of humankind, and I see very little, if any, love. I see religion that has nothing to do with love. I see a philosophy that has nothing to do with love. I see politics that certainly have nothing to do with love. So I am always a little hesitant because now when you use the word God, of course, the AA people like to call it, the higher power. I don't feel there is a higher power. I feel there is a presence of love. And I don't like higher because that makes the opposite seem to occur, the lower. And I see everything equal in this lifetime. Everything is playing off of everything else, and I think it's a very dangerous thing to say there's higher and lower powers. I just do. But if it floats your boat and it helps you recover, then I'm all for it. I'll go all for it. I don't say a lot of things about a lot of things because people would misinterpret. There's always that level of misinterpretation that people have. And I find it difficult to try to overcome that. Once a person has made up their mind, they've made up their mind about you. And you can't really change it. So I try to serve people. When I'm in hospice and I'm working with people there and they talk about God, I freely talk about it. I have no qualms. But there are things I'm not saying. And sometimes it's better left unsaid because people have to find it out for their own. But there are some things I am willing to talk about that I have found. First of all, there are things that about God that people don't understand. God is not a man. God forbid it be a man or a woman. Don't get me. To apply a gender to God is one of the most ridiculous, childish things I could ever imagine doing. I can't imagine people thinking God is a man, but lo and behold, I'm wrong again. People do think it's a man. Now, in this world where you have all the Me Tooers and the woman's movement, you would think that women would be a little annoyed by this, that you are God's second little idea.
First came man. Yes, manly man.
And then
the woman comes because
man is lonely.
Yeah, you know, come on. That's a polite way of saying you needed sex or something. The whole thing, biblically speaking, is a metaphor. It's an allegory. And it shouldn't be taken literally. But beings that people are the way they are, and this is where I don't like to talk about it too much, Janice, I have to endure this thing of their literal-mindedness. So one of the things I'd like to say to you that I don't talk about very much is God is love. Now, what does that mean? What is love? Well, for most people, it's an emotional experience, some kind of emotionality, and that's not what I'm talking about either, and that's not what I have experienced in my own being. God is the forever, the constant, the immortal. It is like a scientific principle. It is like high geometry or simple math. There are not words to describe the beauty of God, the essence of it all. It isn't some higher, lower religious power that grants favors in the light of your begging and beseeching. It doesn't work that way at all. And yet, we think of it in those terms. The reason we like to think of it in those terms is because we like to take God and put it in a mindset, a logic and reasoning where we can categorize it. Use it when we need it, forget it when we don't. So all of this is a problem for humankind. This is why we don't awaken as a world, as a people. We just don't awaken. This is why people try to meditate and all of that to have an experience of God, and they miss. You get a little nuance here of just a very small tip of the hair on your chinny chin chin of God and you think you've hit it all. There's so much more to that thing called God. So much more. And he's not the Wizard of Oz. And he's not a he. It is a consistency, a heartbeat. It's found in it. And as my students and I enter into the year of the soul, which is very beautiful, they're going to have to come to grips with the whole, not idea, but willingness to experience God outside of their mind and their definitions of thinking, which constantly pervade their life with all sorts of misnomers. So it's going to be quite a journey for us to enter into the soul, but there you are. And I'm going to leave it at that for now, because God is the experience only your soul can reveal to you, but your body and mind cannot understand and will be impervious to. And that's just the way it is. And that's why I'm reluctant to ever talk about it with people, just so you know. There's much more to it. But it is a matter of a direct experience that does not compute with human logic and reasoning. Do you remember the movie 2001 Space Odyssey? You remember that? And remember when the guy in there is going through at the end, you know, time and everything, and he's just blown away. He's just absolutely blown away. He gets old, he gets young, he goes through all sorts of metamorphoses. That's kind of what it's like. And how do you explain that to anyone? We live in a finite mind trying to understand the infinite way. And it just can't be done. Thank you, Janice, for your question, though. It's a very thoughtful, kind, and intelligent question. Please forgive me. Namaste. Here's the next one from Ted. He does not tell me where he lives either. Are there some people who just don't get it and some that do? I'm afraid I'm the one that doesn't get it, Ted. Yes, Ted, there are some people that get it and those who won't. It isn't that you can't, it's that you won't. You have a premise, some kind of pretense that you're wrestling with inside of you. Things must coordinate with your logic and reasoning, possibly. There's all sorts of situations, conditions, circumstances that we find ourselves in. Some of them we get, we understand why they're in our life, and the majority of them we don't. We're so busy trying to get what we want in order to soothe the savage pain that lives within us, the emotionality, the sorrow, that we just don't get it. We eat, we drink, we entertain ourselves to oblivion. We do so many things that are unkind to our inner being. And we don't care that we do this unkindness. We just don't care. We think we can just do what we want to do and have what we want to have and go where we want to go, and that it just doesn't matter what we think, say, or do. Some people get it because they came into this world from prior lifetimes ready, willing, and learning how to be able. Others came from very difficult lifetimes where there was a lot of tension and pain and sorrow, and they are looking to avenge their past life rather than to, shall we say, amend it or transcend it, really. There's a lot of different things that people come in with. We're all generally in the same boat, Speaking of that, but we're all different captains on that boat, sailing to basically the same place, but we take very roundabout ways of doing it. It was Suzuki that said we are like a boat that is destined to go out into the ocean and sink. It's so true. He was such a brilliant, wise, awakened man. He understood. Everything is truly against us, Janice. Ted. It truly is. Against us in the form that we think in terms of our humanity and not our divinity. And we put ourselves at odds with life and we stack the deck against ourselves. You can't talk a person out of their self-righteousness. Believe me, you can't. People try. Ministers try. We try to reason with you and do logic and all that other stuff, but it really doesn't work. Because you have to come to a place where you do hunger and thirst after righteousness, as Jesus said. You have to have some teachability, how Jesus talked about it as meekness. Buddha talked about it as being well, being actually well on the inside. I love what he said. We're not well people. We're born in this world. We're born of mischief, the mischief of our mother and fathers and their genetics, and then that pours out into our body, and then we get bonded in this world, and our bodies start dictating to us immediately fear, and often later on hate and anger and confusion. Very few people sort it all out inside and can realize the illusion and delusion of their own life. The people who get it are those who are willing to let go of everything. They have to see one thing. If you really want to get it, you have to see the state of your futility. If you do not understand the state of your futility, you will never, ever get it. If you don't understand how futile your life is, based on the contention of contempt for which most people live, we have contempt for violence, we have contempt for social causes, religious causes, and we deal with all of them, political causes, of course, we deal with all of them with fear and hate. And as long as we're continuing to live in that manner, the manner of our method will reign supreme. There are many, many people in this world who are mean-spirited, very mean-spirited, and all they care about is themselves. And we expect peace on earth. We expect to survive. Through all of this, we expect to survive. The effort is to find love within, to find the meaning of life from love within you. It isn't to change the world. It is to change ourselves first, to put ourselves in a position to, as you put it here, Ted, to get it. Which means to not just comprehend, but go beyond my human comprehension. To go into the way of the heart. To actually live in that way of the heart without pretense. Without being unkind. Contrary. Difficult. People like to be difficult. They think it defines their individuality, and it doesn't. It just shows what a fool I am when I do these things. So the effort, well, to get it is to drop everything that you think you know is right. In the Beatitudes, which I did on the Aspire website, if you go there and you will see TV programs, you will see Beatitudes. You can go and watch them. I go into far more detail in the TV discourses, and you can get those also. Jesus talks about, blessed are the poor in spirit. And blessed are the meek. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Ted, if you really want to get it, you have to examine why you don't get it. It has to do with all sorts of pretenses and beliefs that you might have that are literal-minded. They pertain to your intellect, not to your authentic heart. And there is the issue for all of us, not just you, me, everyone else. You have to drop your logic and reasoning for the sake of a greater love that lives within you. I hope that helps, Ted. I really do. May that serve you well, and please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question, this person wants to remain totally anonymous, and I do, I respect that. The question is simply, what is righteousness? This is an excellent question. Righteousness is defined as what a person derives or thinks of as being correct or right. Well, that pertains to a lot of things. The mental acumen of a person, the mental acuity of a person, the emotionality that a person wrestles with over and over and over again within themselves. It all goes down to the basic of, am I willing to let love live through me? Am I? Or am I just going to go through my life the way I go through my life? Void, devoid, thinking I know, playing with thoughts. Thoughts that have nothing to do with the meaning of my life, the meaning of the way of the heart. So you got to look at it and ask yourself the question, what is righteousness? It is that beautiful place within you where you find your immortality. That's what righteousness is, the state of your immortality. And if you can venture into it through meditation and realize the sense of your soul, that you are deeply loved, you will find an inner awakening. The awakening to your heart first, the authentic. When you look at great spiritual masters, Lao Tzu, the Buddha, Jesus, Mahavir, so many, you start to realize these people exist not as men and women, right or wrong, left or right, up and down, good or bad. They exist in the state of an immortality that is greater than the experience their minds can offer to them, their minds can interpret. We miss so much because we try to interpret our life through our logic and reasoning. The righteousness that lives within you is love. That's all it is. It's inexplicable, indefinable. And if you can merge yourself with it, if you can allow yourself to become one with it by dropping the barrier, which is strictly emotionality, your mind will cease. It will no longer function. And you will no longer have the strategy of survival as the first intent of your life. As long as I have the strategy of survival, any kind of survival, whether it be in recovery or whether it be in trying to survive in the world or trying to survive in a friendship, a relationship, whatever, when I'm willing to drop all that for the sake of realizing love, that's when I've come to the place of true righteousness. And it applies to every aspect of my life. I hope that serves you well, my anonymous friend. And please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here. Have a beautiful, beautiful weekend. I will see you tomorrow here. Same time, same station, same place. Please forgive all of this. Be kind. Namaste.